You were my wife. You mattered.
You were my dad. You mattered.
You were my sister. You mattered.
Every life has meaning and purpose. That's why choosing a monument to celebrate the life of a loved one is so important. At Stennis Granite, our compassionate design professionals will work with you from concept to completion to tell the story of those who matter most to you for generations to come. When it's time to choose a personalized memorial, buy directly from the monument builder you can trust, Stennis Granite in East Grand Forks. Because they mattered. Learn more at stennisgranite.com.
Should your drive take an unexpected turn, keep Crookston Collision Center in mind. They'll fix your car right and on time, restoring it to its pre-accident condition. Bruised egos, well, that's another story. So until you need Crookston Collision Center, drive on, and may the road rise up to meet you.
This is Corey from Crookston Collision Center. Don't worry, Crookston Collision Center is standing by. Stop by our shop on University Avenue, next to the Dairy Queen, or give us a call at 281-6692.
Sun shining and blue skies overhead right now here in downtown Crookston, where it is 48 degrees. With today's noontime news, here is Chris Fee.
Well, thanks, Leo. Taking a look at our world and national news headlines at this hour. Some will call it a miracle. According to Notre Dame's heritage director, only one piece of architecture inside the sacred building has been damaged. Lauren Pradas told the Associated Press that the high altar, which was installed in 1989, was hit and harmed by the cathedral spire when it came crashing down in the flames. Two of France's richest men, long locked in a very public rivalry, are once again pitted against each other, this time over flashy and competing donations to rebuild Notre Dame. Billionaire luxury tycoons Bernard Arnault, 70, and François Pinault, 82, are among France's fiercest business competitors and patrons. On Tuesday, the rivalry reached new heights when each pledged millions of euros worth of donations to finance Notre Dame's restoration. President Donald Trump is keeping up his attack on the origins of the Russia investigation as he awaits the release of the redacted special counsel's report. Trump portrays the investigation as an effort by Democrats and career officials in the Justice Department to bring him down. And he said to a Minneapolis TV station on Monday, this crime was all made up. Attorney General William Barr plans to release a redacted version of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report on Thursday. When the Justice Department releases the Special Counsel's report on Russian election interference, parts of the report will be blacked out. Does that mean that everything redacted is top secret? Tom Blanton of the National Security Archive says redactions are overused. David Cole of the American Civil Liberties Union says that any government official who ever had a security clearance will say that the problem of overclassification is rampant. Some survivors of the Columbine High School shooting are raising children two decades later in an era where campus attacks have shaped school security. Some find comfort in the video surveillance and armed guards, while others worry about the effect of active shooter drills on their kids' generation. The students who survived the Colorado shooting on April 16, 1999, have been forced to relive their trauma as they send their children to school. Hard to believe it was this day in 1999. Columbine High School, the shootings took place, and things have changed ever since. It was school safety. That is a look at our world and national news headlines at this hour.
The Art of Remembering. That's a Stennis Memorial. When the time comes, Stennis Granite Company offers expertly designed custom memorials from the smallest footstone to the largest monument. With the help of Stennis Granite, your ideas become a unique expression of the person it memorializes. Each design is custom created and handcrafted in-house. Whether pre-planning for your own peace of mind or choosing the perfect memorial legacy for a loved one, Stennis Granite is with you from concept to completion. Please view the Stennis online gallery at stennisgranite.com and trust your memories to Stennis Granite Company in East Grand Forks.
Should your drive take an unexpected turn, keep Crookston Collision Center in mind. They'll fix your car right and on time, restoring it to its pre-accident condition. Bruised egos? Well, that's another story. So until you need Crookston Collision Center, drive on, and may the road rise up to meet you.
This is Corey from Crookston Collision Center. Don't worry, Crookston Collision Center is standing by. Stop by our shop on University Avenue, next to the Dairy Queen, or give us a call at 281-6692.
Well, taking a look at our present conditions, spring is finally here. We have 48 degrees, sunny skies, a southwest wind of 6 miles an hour, barometric pressure at 29.89 inches and rising. The Red Lake River level has been slowly rising here throughout the day. We're up to 16.71 feet. We're expecting a crest of around 21 feet by Friday. We'll keep our eyes on the river, but 21, we're still well within. In Crookston, anyway, we're well within the banks of the river and the levees, so we're fine there. But outer-lying areas, we'll still have to keep a close eye on the river, and that's, of course, if the levees continue to protect us. Also, climax on the Sandhill River. Until further notice, there is a flood warning there. At 8:45 Tuesday, the stage was 27.5 feet. Moderate flooding is occurring, and during the next 7 days, moderate flooding is forecast. Moderate flood stage is 25 feet. The river will continue to fall to a stage of 27.3 feet by Wednesday morning, mid-morning. And so again, a climax still suffering the high Sandhill River there. And Oslo, they're saying it's now an island, as they are surrounded by overland flooding in the Oslo area once again this spring. There is a flood warning there. The stage, the river was 9:15 p.m. Monday, was 37.6 feet. Major flood stage is 36. Major flooding is occurring, and during the next 7 days, major flooding is forecast in Oslo. And it looks like the river level should stay right around 37.5 feet over the next week. So that's a long time to have high waters there. And also East Grand Forks on the red, they still have a flood warning there. At 9:45 Monday, the stage was 44.8 feet. Moderate flood stage is 40 feet in East Grand Forks. The river will rise to near 45.2 feet sometime early Saturday morning. Then it will start its decline. So it sounds like if we can get through a Sunday, Monday for most of the areas, things should start getting better, except for in Oslo. So that's the river and the flood update. Taking a look at the forecast for Crookston and the listening area. This is part of the reason why we're having increased flood warnings. The rest of today, sunny, highs 55 to 60. So that's going to pretty much melt everything out. Southwest winds of around 10 miles an hour. So if it wasn't for the high river levels in the area, this would be a perfect day. Tonight, they're saying a 50% chance of light rain, lows 35 to 40. Temperatures the rest of the week into the mid-50s, and by the weekend, possibly hitting the mid-60s. So spring has finally come here, and there is a chance of some precipitation Wednesday and a Wednesday night as well. And then again, not until the weekend, Saturday night. So we'll keep you updated as we get closer to Easter weekend to tell you what to expect there. Again, right now in downtown Crookston, a beautiful day shaping up, 48 degrees, sunny skies, a southwest wind of 6 miles an hour. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Take a full look at the weather. That'll be coming up a little later, but we'll take a break. We'll be back and take a look at the state news. That'll be coming up after this from our friends at HN Quality Plumbing and First Community Credit Union.
Popcorn, soda, and two baseball tickets. That'll be $30. Will you be paying with cash or debit?
Debit. Hi, I'm Sage Doler. Here at First Community Credit Union, we get excited to use our debit card for everyday purchases, especially with our free Kasasa checking that pays cash back just for using your debit card. To find out more, stop by First Community Credit Union or go online to myfccu.com. Kasasa, free checking that pays. Insured by NCUA. Qualifications and rules apply. See us for details.
Been thinking of doing some remodeling in your home? If your kitchen or bathroom are part of that plan, or you'd like to add a bathroom, stop by HN Quality Plumbing at 535 3rd Avenue Southwest. Take a look at their showroom. They have faucets by Moen, Delta, and American Standard on display for you to choose from. Bathtubs and sinks, as well as kitchen sinks, all set in a beautiful showroom.
This is Dan Neistat. Stop by and visit with us about your plumbing remodeling ideas. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. HN Quality Plumbing, 535 3rd Avenue Southwest in Crookston.
Taking a look at our state news, Governor Tim Walz today named Tarek Thomas as a new commissioner of the state's IT department, which remains under scrutiny due to longstanding problems with MNLARS, the state's vehicle registration and driver's license system. Thomas, a high-ranking IT official for the city of St. Paul, says software development can't fall victim to fear or failure.
Fear of failure doesn't mean that you're going to fail. The fear of failure means that you may not bring forth the appropriate solutions to change people's lives for a tremendously conservative approach.
Governor Walz indicates he doesn't have preconceived notions about whether state programmers or commercially available software will ultimately fix Minlars.
I'm being very clear about this. I am agnostic on where the solutions come from.
The recommendations from a special task force are due in early May. Minnesota Ag Commissioner Tom Peterson feels for farmers affected by last week's storm.
It's just been a tough winter and now beginning a tough spring. You know, just feeling for our livestock farmers, especially like that are spring calving, and you see a lot of the power substations in southern Minnesota poles snap.
And Peterson says many producers without power are relying on generators.
A lot of times public doesn't realize a lot of the things that farmers spend on infrastructure in their farms so that they're unfortunately prepared for situations like this. But again, another punch in the gut here as we try to get going.
Peterson says flood concerns will persist throughout the spring, and he's encouraging producers to reach out to their local FSA office about state and federal disaster assistance. Police say two children were among those injured when an SUV driver ran a red light and crashed into a school bus in Brooklyn Park. Deputy Chief Mark Brule says the children and drivers of both vehicles were taken to the hospital for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries. A family member says two children who survived a house fire in Sherburne County that killed their father and two siblings have been released from their hospital. The uncle of the children's mother, Jim Tully, says the surviving children, 7 and 9-year-old, are back home following the April 12 fire that killed 1-year-old Spencer Parker, 2-year-old Landon Parker, and 36-year-old Anthony Parker. United Health Group beat first quarter expectations and hiked its 2019 forecast, but shares of the nation's largest health insurer continued their slump as investors worry about growing congressional scrutiny of how the company and its competitors do business. And some good news, that 5-year-old that was thrown over the third floor down to the first floor at the Mall of America is, well, slowly improving. They have ruled out brain damage or spinal injury, and so hopefully, I know a lot of people are praying for that youngster, and as a parent of many kids who have been to the Mall of America, you always tell them to stay clear from that because that's what you fear, but hopefully that 5-year-old will continue to improve. They did filed charges against the 24-year-old that threw him over, and hopefully the judge, whoever gets him, will not have any leniency whatsoever. That is a look at the state news. We will take a break. We'll be back. Take a look at the sports scene. We have some sports to talk about from yesterday. We'll tell you more about that coming up right after this from HN Quality Plumbing and First Community Credit Union.
Popcorn, soda, and 2 baseball tickets. That'll be $30. We'd be paying with cash or debit.
Debit. Hi, I'm Sage Doler. Here at First Community Credit Union, we get excited to use our debit card for everyday purchases, especially with our free Kasasa checking that pays cash back just for using your debit card. To find out more, stop by First Community Credit Union or go online to myfccu.com. Kasasa, free checking that pays. Insured by NCUA, qualifications and rules apply. See us for details.
Been thinking of doing some remodeling in your home? If your kitchen or bathroom are part of that plan or you'd like to add a bathroom, stop by HN Quality Plumbing at 535 3rd Avenue Southwest. Take a look at their showroom. They have faucets by Moen, Delta, and American Standard on display for you to choose from. Bathtubs and sinks as well as kitchen sinks all set in a beautiful showroom.
This is Dan Neisted. Stop by and visit with us about your plumbing remodeling ideas. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. HN Quality Plumbing, 535 3rd Avenue Southwest in Crookston.
The Crookston Pirate boys tennis team, they played the fifth-ranked Thief River Falls Prowlers in two cities in a span of over 5 hours. After it was all said and done, I should have counted how many miles we put on, but the Prowlers won the match 6-1. The match started in Detroit Lakes, where it started to rain, and they started 2 hours late because Detroit Lakes only had 4 courts open. Somehow they were going to play 3 duels on 4 courts. If you're not familiar with tennis, you have 7 matches that need to be played. So in each match takes about an hour and a half. So it was a disaster from the start. Then it started to rain. And after 30 minutes of light rain, the coaches decided to take a break and made a decision to move the rest of the match to Thief River Falls, where they had six available courts and no rain. If you're wondering why they didn't play in Crookston, it's because Crookston only has four available courts, because the ones at the high school have a lot of snow still on the courts. So the match resumed play about 5:30 p.m. at the Thief River Falls Franklin Middle School courts. Jack Garman won his match at four singles. He was the only one to do so. Crookston drops to 0-2 on the year and will host Bemidji on Thursday. The scheduled match with Detroit Lakes has been postponed to a later date. So my wife and I, we take off work along with some other parents. You show up at noon, expecting that's when they're going to play. 2 hours later, they start. So we took a nice drive along the lake. I mean, what do you do in Detroit Lakes when it's snow? And then they start, and then it starts raining right as they start. So both of us are looking at each other saying we should have stayed at work. But you have a senior playing last matches of his career here this year, so we went. And then she had a meeting, so I dropped her off in Crookston. I go to Thief River Falls after coming to Crookston. I go watch for about an hour and then come home. I think it was 8 o'clock when we got home. But anyway, the UMC softball team, they're traveling fools, but they're able to get their games in. They played a 2 and up in Iowa on Sunday, and then on Monday they played in Iowa again, this time against Upper Iowa. First game was a slugfest. If you like offense, it was quite the game. 22-12, Upper Iowa beat UMC. Second game was a complete opposite. Well, for UMC, they didn't score a run. They were no hit. But for Upper Iowa, they continued to have the bats going. They scored 13 and beat UMC. 13-0 to sweep the doubleheader. UMC drops to 13-29 on the season, 2-16 in conference play. The Golden Eagles return to the field today. They're taking on St. Cloud State at 1 p.m. Upper Iowa, they improved to 20-13 overall, 12-6 in conference play. For the story, stats, scoring, tennis pictures, and more, go to KROXAM.com. Click on sports. Well, as we take a look at the sports scoreboard from yesterday, the Minnesota Twins, things were looking pretty good. They had a good starting pitching performance, but then the bullpen blew it, and Toronto beat the Twins 5-3. And Pirate Boys Tennis, they were also supposed to play Detroit Lakes, but that was postponed to a later date. Pirate Girls Softball hosting Bagley, that has been postponed to April 22nd. And Pirate Baseball with Thief River Falls, that has been postponed. I think now the baseball games they had no interest in looking at rescheduling until they knew that they would be able to play. So now they'll be looking at making up some of those games. But it's safe to say a lot of those games will not be made up because they have 20 games scheduled with only 30 days left before the first round of playoffs. So some games are not going to be played this year for the smart baseball coaches. For most schools around this area, you don't have the pitching to play 5 games a week. Well, you have a pitching count, too, which affects high school and schools in this area where there isn't many kids out in the first place. So stay tuned. We'll keep you updated on what games get rescheduled, which ones don't, and obviously section games will be the most important. As we take a look at the schedule for today, the Pirates softball, they're going to try to have their season opener as they get ready to take on Sacred Heart. The game was scheduled for a 4:30 start. It has now been moved back to a 5 p.m. start because Sacred Heart wasn't able to get a bus until then. So varsity will play at 5. We'll have the Riverview Health pregame show at 4:30. JV to follow. Junior high has been canceled because there's only one field available. UMC softball, they're at St. Cloud State. 1 o'clock start, doubleheader there. And the Twins, they host Toronto tonight. And I like this. 6 o'clock pregame, 6:40, the first pitch. I'm not going to argue. I like that. And UMC, baseball team, hey, it's finally worked out in favor of UMC. UMC baseball was supposed to be in Marshall, Minnesota. The weather down there just wasn't as cooperative. The field wasn't ready, but UMC is going to be hosting Southwest Minnesota State. 1:30, it gets underway, a doubleheader there. Boys and girls track. Crookston is at the Park Rapids Outdoors Invitational, a 4 o'clock start. They will not be doing any throwing, any pole vaulting, I don't think. They're just going to do high jump and running events only. at the Boys and Girls track meet there. But, hey, it's a beautiful day. You got to get it in if you can. And let's see what else we have. The Vikings have signed former Los Angeles Rams quarterback Sean Mannion and ex-Denver Broncos wide receiver Jordan Taylor. Taylor played in 26 games for the Broncos but was sidelined last year following double hip surgery. And the NHL and NBA playoffs are all underway. And if you follow it closely, you already know who won, so we don't need to tell you. And if you don't follow it closely, you probably don't care who won last night. But we will tell you this. Next year's Tokyo Olympics could become known as the Get Up Early Games in order to beat the summer heat in the Japanese capital, with some events starting as early as 5:30 a.m. Swimming finals are set for 10:30 a.m. to allow deep-pocketed North American television to show the events live in prime time. I haven't heard that before. Deep-pocketed North American TV, which would be NBC. That is a look at our sports, all the sports news, and the constant, ever-changing Pirate Spring sports schedule. We update it as soon as we get the announcements online, KROXAM.com. Hover over the sports menu, or if you're on your cell phone, hit the arrow to the right of the sports menu. It'll drop down the menu, and I showed a local business owner this weekend on his phone. This is how you do it. He's like, oh, I should have called you earlier. So it's if you ever have any questions, we'll be happy to help. Or if you're just looking for, let's say, Pirate baseball or Pirate softball, you don't see it on the sports stories, or you want to check back to Pirate girls basketball or Pirate boys hockey or whatever, just type that in, and that'll take you to all the stories that we've wrote here the past school year. So that is it on the sports. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Take a look at the local news and the weather. That'll be coming up after this from our friends at Hugo's Family Marketplace.
If you're entertaining for Easter, be sure to shop the grocery savings at Hugo's Family Marketplace. 14-ounce packages of Dole coleslaw mix, 2 for $3. 10 to 16-ounce assorted bird's eye vegetables are 99 cents. 42 to 250-count assorted Mardi Gras or Vanity Fair napkins, 2 for $5. You can find all this week's Easter savings at GoHugos.com. And happy Easter from everyone at Hugo's Family Marketplace.
You're gonna find more low prices, more great stuff when you go to Hugo's.
I'll take it a look at the local news. More than 30 people attended a town hall at Crookston City Hall on Monday afternoon with Senator Mark Johnson and Representative Deb Keel in attendance. Today is the first day of a three-day nine-town tour, according to Johnson.
This is kind of the kickoff now for our nine town hall tour. So we're going to be around East Grand Forks today, Crookston, and over to Fauston. So it's a lot of fun. A lot of folks coming out. It's been a great event.
Keel said events like this are important to find out what the community is thinking and what their concerns are.
I'm just really pleased with the people that have come out to find out what's going on and conversations, especially to hear their concerns. I think that's even more important, is to find out what the citizens are thinking and what their concerns are. I always take this opportunity to encourage people to call, and of course I let people know my email was down for a while, so hopefully that's back up and running, but please reach out. I always want to hear what's going on and people's concerns.
Senator Mark Johnson spent part of the town hall discussing the fraud that has taken place in the state-subsidized child care assistance program.
I think everybody's heard a little bit about some of the fraud that's going on, and it should anger people. I mean, what is happening with our tax dollars getting siphoned off and in some cases put on airplanes and shipped off to foreign countries? This is not what it was intended for. It's intended for helping out low-income families that need that assistance so they can contribute then in their jobs and their roles to be contributing to the state of Minnesota. We want to design that program so it's doing just that. So what we've come up with on the Senate side, Senator Abler has said, well, let's freeze a dollar. And let's set some benchmarks so we can hold government accountable, and then let's achieve those things. I don't think that's too much to ask for any of our state agencies.
And both Keel and Johnson spent a considerable amount, or they said that if the CCAP, that's the Child Care Assistance Program, can't meet those benchmarks, something new will need to be looked at. Additionally, Johnson has been working on a task force attempting to address the child care shortage, looking at regulations, licensing, and ratios.
There's all these regulations and ratios and whatnot, and how can we streamline that? I've been part of a task force this year that we've really looked into what are some of the things that we can do to change business of childcare so that people can actually do it. I remember growing up, my mom had a number of kids come over, and it was neighbor kids, and that was her business, was we watched, you know, she watched the kids. We got playmates during that time, so it was fun. And but now, I, you know, that's more and more difficult to do and work in our small communities. It's one thing if you're down in the metro and you have these things in place, but it's completely different when you're in District 1.
Both Keel and Johnson spend a considerable amount of time discussing mental health funding and programs, which Johnson said is one of the top two things he hears whenever he talks to city officials, superintendents, and other community leaders. Keel said providing funding for mental health is important to help people and families function.
There's a lot of aspects of mental health, and certainly we need to do something to help people so that they can get the help they need but are able to function and take care of them and their families. And I think we don't understand enough about mental health and the issues that it creates within a family, and is very important. And so there is funding in the health care bill for that.
One aspect of the health care bill that was a concern to both the community members and Keel was a lack of funding for nursing homes.
There is a cut in nursing homes, and very concerned about that because we're actually seeing nursing homes get in the black again. They've been financially really having problems covering their costs and have really gotten a bad rap, and they have a hard time hiring people, and they're really working hard to make sure that they can do their best to take care of people. And our citizens are important. We need to make sure we have enough staff for that, but more importantly, they need funding. And when I see the health care bill, my concerns are that it's not there.
Both Keel and Johnson also expressed the view a gas tax increase would be an equitable burden to Northwest Minnesota.
Unless there's a gun bill up, I think the gas tax and tab fees is the number one people have been emailing and calling about. For rural Minnesota, especially for Northwest Minnesota, that is one of the biggest disproportionate tax burdens that we can have. It's on us. I mean, it'll hit us. Everything that we have is shipped up here, or we ship out of here to other places. And so if you start adding up those dollars, not just for the time that you fill up, but also the cost of the products that are going both ways and what that adds to those products, we're going to see the burden of those tax increases more than any other part of the state. So this is something that I've been adamantly against. Let's figure out how to fund our roads and bridges. I'm not against that at all. But how do we fund them in a way that's fair and equitable across the state? And this just isn't it.
And again, that was Senator Mark Johnson and Representative Deb Keel hosting a town hall meeting at City Hall yesterday. The Crookston City Council on a Monday night voted unanimously 7-0. Clayton Briggs was absent in favor of a resolution approving a development agreement and authorizing the execution of the development agreement regarding TIF Districts 3 through 11, which is the 4A building. The approval comes a week after the resolution was tabled for a third time to ask questions about the latitude the language was giving the mayor and city administrator to approve changes to the document. Although the spirit of the section in the question didn't change, there was a further clarification added to the language stating, quote, approval of such immaterial additional details to the substantially final forms, end quote, was added to the section 2.03 of the agreement, explained City Administrator Shannon Stassen.
When we reach back out to our attorney that handles this, the language is pretty much standard language that they use in any agreement, but there was a minor modification saying any immaterial things like edits, you know, minor things that don't affect the general scope of the agreement can be edited as needed, which is kind of the case in anything. But any larger material type things would have to be brought back to council, which is the understanding in any TIF if we're going to make an amendment down the road. So just making that a little more clear, I guess.
Now with the agreement in place, developer Jeff Evers will be able to move forward on several aspects of the project that were held up waiting for the agreement to be signed, including construction permitting, according to Stassen.
Now that the ball's in Jeff's court, it's a big project and looking forward to seeing what he does. It's an important building, not only in our downtown, but our entire community, and we're just looking forward to seeing what he does with it. And I know Tri-Valley is eagerly awaiting that as well, to get moved across the street, and so that's it. It's kind of Jeff's got to do his part, and I know he will.
And so this is how city government is supposed to work. They didn't have the life insurance policy, so Tom Vedbraten said, hey, we're not okaying this thing until he gets a life insurance policy in, and said bring it back when you have that. So it was tabled. It was tabled again because of the wording wasn't clear, and they went through the different avenues to do that, and then they finally got all the I's dotted, the T's crossed, and then the council approved it. That's exactly what city council is supposed to do, make sure everything is right before okaying it. So good job by all, and hopefully Jeff can get cracking a little more now on that Fournier building. On Tuesday, April 16th, from approximately noon, well, going on till 9 p.m. today, the Grand Forks Regional SWAT team, in conjunction with Riverview Health and the Crookston Police Department, will be training at or near Riverview Health. More specifically, the training will take place in the vacated portion of the former nursing home. The training will be a simulated critical incident response scenario. During this training, you may see or hear the following, but not limited to: SWAT operators, uniformed personnel, training officers, SWAT vehicles, fully marked or unmarked law enforcement squad cars, police sirens, simulated gunfire, yelling and shouting, and light sound distraction devices. Two Crookston Police Department officers are members of the SWAT team, and one officer is a member of the Crisis Negotiation Team. These teams are part of the larger Grand Forks Regional Special Operations Group that also consists of a bomb and explosive response team, unmanned aerial systems team, and water rescue and recovery team. If you have any questions on the training, you can call the police department at 281-3111. But if you hear, and I'm sure the sirens and the simulated gunfire would probably be the most alarming, it would be to me. If you hear that, that is what is going on by Riverview Health there today, until about 9 o'clock this evening. The Grand Forks Police Department, we always have one of these guys that think it would be wise to kayak in the river during a flood event, but the police department in Grand Forks was dispatched to the area of Lincoln Park for a subject in the water. A neighbor who lives in the area of the park heard a male subject yelling for help. When the officers arrived on scene, they could hear a male subject yelling. However, they were not able to see anyone. The Grand Forks Water Rescue personnel were called out to help locate the male subject. The Grand Forks Water Rescue personnel were able to find the male subject standing on a tree limb in the river. The male subject was identified as Trevor Binstock, 19, of Grand Forks. Binstock told the police that he decided to go kayaking to see the river. Binstock told the police that the river current pushed his kayak into a cement building, which caused the kayak to capsize. Binstock was wearing a life jacket, and he was able to swim to a nearby tree. Binstock believes that he had been on the tree for 30 minutes before the police arrived on scene. Binstock was transported to Altrue for evaluation. The Grand Forks Police was assisted by the Grand Forks Sheriff's Department, Grand Forks Fire Department, and Altrue paramedics. And a reminder, we shouldn't have to tell you this, but a reminder from the Grand Forks Police Department, please stay off the river during flood stages for your safety and others. Well, let's see what else we have on the Crookston Planning Commission. They will meet tonight at 7 p.m. in the conference room at City Hall. The agenda consists of approving the March 19th meeting minutes and reviewing the proposed Gateway Overlay District. And the Minnesota Department of Transportation has expanded the road closure on Highway 1 around Oslo. The road is now closed between the North Dakota border and County Road 17, which is near mile marker 3. The highway will remain closed until further notice, and traffic should seek alternate routes. Highways that remain closed: Highway 1 between North Dakota border and County Road 17, Business Highway 2 at the Sorley Bridge in East Grand Forks, Highway 75 north of Halsted, Highway 75 south of Halsted, Highway 75 north of Climax, Highway 75 between Noyes and the Canadian border, Highway 175 west of Hallock between County Road 34 and the North Dakota border, Highway 220 north of Oslo between Highway 1 and 11, Highway 317 between Highway 220 and the North Dakota border. Highways that remain open but currently have water over the road, there are none left there. And highways that previously had water over the road but the water level has receded would be Highway 220 south of Alvarado. So there's your road update in our neck of the woods here in northwest Minnesota. Now, as we shift to the weather, again, with the rapid thaw of what is left of the snow, that is going to be melting, and with the warm temperatures not hitting freezing, at least it's not forecasted to hit freezing overnight, that's going to cause the rivers to go up a little bit more. Right now in downtown Crookston, we're already up to sunny skies, 52 degrees. We'll take it. Southwest wind of 6 miles an hour, barometric pressure at 29.90 inches. Humidity is at 62%, and the Red Lake River level in Crookston is at 16.8 feet. That is up almost a foot since 5 o'clock this morning. With that being said, there is a flood warning continuing for Crookston on the Red Lake River until further notice. At 8:45 a.m. this morning, the stage was 16.5. As we said, right now, it is at 16.8. Minor flooding is occurring, and during the next 7 days, minor flooding is forecast. The river will rise to a crest of near 21.5 feet sometime Friday mid-morning and then begin falling again. At Climax on the Sandhill River, a flood warning has been issued. At 8:45 this morning, the stage was 27.5 feet. Moderate flooding is occurring, and during the next 7 days, moderate flooding is forecast. Moderate flood stage is 25 feet. The river will continue to fall to a stage of 27.3 feet by Wednesday mid-morning. And Oslo, they are an island. They are surrounded by overland flooding, and it's been terrible up there over the past many years. And major flooding is occurring during the next 7 days. Major flooding is forecast. Major flood stage is 36 feet. And the river right now, as of this morning, was 37.6 feet. It's forecast to be right around 37.5 to 37.6 over the next week through Monday. So that's what's going on in our immediate area. Hallock on the Two Rivers River in Kitson County, there's a flood warning there as well. And Alvarado on the Snake River, Sabin on the South Branch Buffalo River in Clay County, Holly, Dilworth, all being affected, Shelley, by river or flood warnings. As we take a look at our numbers for today, the sun rose at 6:35 this morning. The sun will set at 8:17 for 13 hours, 42 minutes of daylight. Today's record low, 11, set in 1961. The record high, 85, set in 2002. The average high, 54. The average low, 30. The year-ago high, 37. Year-ago low, 19. Yesterday's high was 45 with a low of 34. The forecast for Crookston and the listening area for the rest of today, they've really bumped up the forecasted highs, and we'll take it. The rest of today, sunny, highs 55 to 60. Southwest winds up to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of light rain, lows 35 to 40, southeast winds up to 10 miles an hour. Wednesday, light rain likely, highs 50 to 55, northeast winds of 5 to 15, a 70% chance of rain. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of light rain, lows in the mid-30s. Thursday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-50s. Friday, sunny, highs 60 to 65. Saturday, partly sunny, a slight chance of light rain, highs 60 to 65. Sunday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-50s. And Monday, mostly sunny, highs 50 to 55. Again, right now in downtown Crookston, sunny skies, 52 degrees. Spring has finally sprung here in Crookston in the listening area, and hopefully the spring sports can get going here. It'll be a busy month before the tournaments start. That is a look at the Noontime News. The Noontime News was brought to you in part today by the Crookston Collision Center, Stennis Granite, HN Quality Plumbing, First Community Credit Union, and Hugo's Family Marketplace. Listen again for the Noontime News tomorrow.